Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. And if you just woke up, we got some breaking news, and we're going to talk about that for a few minutes with our two guests this hour, Eleanor Solomon and Ray Keating. Eleanor Solomon is a former Fed economist. She's also a professor at George Washington University. She also is the author of an outstanding book called Virtual Money, Understanding the Power and Risks of Money's High-Speed Journey into Electronic Space. And she is our good friend and one of the top economists in our brain trust. Eleanor Solomon, welcome back to the show.
Thanks. It's a pleasure.
It's good to have you back, Eleanor. As always, you add so much class and credibility to all that we do. Ray Keating is another cool guy, and Ray is chief economist for the Small Business Survival Committee, author of a number of books, also a columnist, as am I, and this is an important day for us, Ray. Ray Keating, welcome back to the show.
Morning, Jim. How are you?
Good morning. It's good to have you back, and say hello to Eleanor.
Hey, Eleanor. How's everything?
Great. How are you?
Good.
Ray, I said this is a big day for us, and Ray and I both are columnists. Eleanor has been in the past. Eleanor and Ray, today is National Columnist Day. Newspaper columnists who bring you joy. I'm going to read this, folks. I'm not making this up. Newspaper columnists who bring you joy all year long deserve to be celebrated by their readers at least once a year. Now you can send your favorite columnist, local or nationally syndicated, your own wishes for a happy columnist day and make him or her feel wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, my address is on my website, so I'm looking forward to it.
maybe my email will be nice.
Your box will be flooded, Ray, today with people, all those people at Newsday who love you being the conservative alternative over there at Newsday.
There you go.
So you didn't know we had our day, did you?
I had no idea. When we're finished with this radio show, that's it. I'm taking the rest of the day off.
Me too. I don't think that's going to play well with the rest of my people here. But
yeah.
But Eleanor and Ray, not to preempt, not that that's a bigger deal than the breaking news. At about 2 o'clock or so Eastern time today, Paul Bremer, in a ceremony, a fairly small ceremony, totally shocking everybody, including the press corps, handed over control of Iraq, to the new government over there 2 days early. Mm-hmm. Ray, what do you make of that?
Well, I think it's great. I think it's smart in terms of obviously causing problems for the terrorists that would want to upset matters, you know, with the scheduled date. So I think it's probably pretty smart to do that.
They can't prevent something that's already happened if they haven't already done it, can they?
Exactly.
The toothpaste is out of the tube. Is that what, could we say it that way? Eleanor, what do you think?
Well, preemptive move. It can't possibly to quell the bloodshed in anticipation of the handover. Just do it.
Yeah.
So you can't have any more of this preemptive terrorism.
Well, you know, you think about it. I mean, this adds excitement. It adds a little bit of energy to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
If there were a tax plan for today and tomorrow, and the next day, you know, in anticipation of the handover, perhaps there were terrorists trying to find out where the handover was going to be so they mm-hmm. could actually go there and disrupt the actual event itself and you know, kind of make a big negative impact on something that should be so positive.
Mm-hmm.
This is whoever thought of this really, Ray, in my opinion, was really smart. What do you think?
You know, I think that's the key, what you just said, in terms of them trying to find out, you know, exactly where it was going to happen and disrupt it and launch an attack. That's the key. So I think it's clearly a big positive from that standpoint. Now, you know, you got to remember these guys are still there and they're still going to try to create problems in Iraq. And
yep.
So we have to keep that all in perspective. But I think the key is what you just focused on is them attacking that actual transfer of power, that ceremony, and that was a big plus today, obviously.
Well, Eleanor, the thing is that is that now the toothpaste, as I said, is out of the tube. That any future attacks are they will actually be attacking the Iraqis.
That's right.
I mean, of course, they have been already, but this is official. They'll be attacking people who are trying to return sovereignty mm-hmm. to the Iraqi people and get the U.S. out of there as soon as possible. So that adds a different connotation to any negative deeds that these people do.
Indeed, I think this move was brilliant.
This morning, I was listening to a couple of the anchors of CNN over in Iraq. And they were talking about, I wish you too could have seen this. They were just almost breathless about how people were continuing to line up to go to work, even though they knew that they might be killed, and they just couldn't. I mean, they both acted shocked and amazed. I promise you, this was their reaction: shocked and amazed. Their words were actually words of shock and amazement that these people continue to show up to go to work, to open their stores, and to volunteer to be police officers and government officials. And they actually acted like, what would make anybody do this? And I wanted to yell, and I actually did yell at the television, "Freedom!"
You're exactly right.
Indeed.
It was
the hope, the opportunity here in terms of what they have. You're absolutely right. That's what everybody's looking for, more or less.
Eleanor?
Well, that is absolutely my view too, and I just hope it works.
Isn't it exciting though to watch this incubator? Isn't that what this is over there, Eleanor? An incubator for I mean, aren't we almost getting to see our own revolution in,
right.
I mean, can't we just sit back for a second and say, okay, imagine that instead of Muhammad, his name is John, and instead of Abdul, his name is Benjamin or Thomas. What do you think?
Well, as you say, freedom suddenly bursting out. It's exciting. They haven't known freedom.
No. Not in anybody's lifetime, really, have they, Ray?
New experience, so it's exciting.
In their lifetime, Ray, they haven't known freedom, have they?
New experience is exactly right, and they have a tremendous opportunity there that as you know, I think the Bush administration has made clear that can serve, if it's successful, can serve as a beacon of hope and light for that entire region, and that's. You know, that's pretty significant.
Right.
You know, the road...
Ray, hold on, Ray. I'm going to let you come back to that. Folks, everybody, including myself, needs to be focusing on what this opportunity for freedom means to those people. It's going to be a beautiful thing, I predict. 20 after, we'll be right back with Ray Keating and Eleanor Solomon. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks for hanging around with me. I'm glad you're here. My website is www.jbsba.com. That's jbsba.com. When you get there, you can subscribe to my free newsletter if you want. You can also find out more about both of our guests this hour, Eleanor Solomon and Ray Keating. Both of them are in our Brain Trust, longtime members of our Brain Trust, great contributors to all that we do and to all the things that you do as a small business owner. They're staunch supporters of you, I promise you, and as you can tell by the way they behave on the show and by the fact that they keep coming back. And don't forget, you can find a lot of archives of their past visits with us. Ray, I interrupted you. We were talking about the breaking news, and it still is. As people wake up in America, this still is, and across the world, it still is breaking news in terms of the handover, the premature, or I should say the, maybe I, instead of premature, Ray, I should call it the preemptive handover.
That's probably a better word.
A preemptive handover of the government to Iraq, and it happened today, folks. It happened about 4 or 5 hours ago. Ray, you were finishing a thought.
Well, my point was that, you know, if Iraq can become a secure and free society, that will be a tremendous breakthrough in the Middle East and really offer some hope for that entire region. And, you know, they're going to have to overcome, as we see, you know, with the daily headlines of terrorist attacks and horrible things that these radical Islamists, this minority of the, in Islam, very radical groups, are willing to do to people to advance their agenda. And that's what they're going to have to overcome. And that's been the case throughout the Middle East. With moderates in the Middle East, they've been having to battle these radicals and be able to stand up to them. And it takes a lot. And it will take a lot for this new Iraqi government to do that. So it's going to be a very rough road ahead, I think. But what an opportunity. It truly is historic.
And folks, in case you've forgotten that I am, in fact, the king of Segway, Eleanor Solomon, you guys are here to talk about the economy and what the Fed's doing. I'll demonstrate now why I am the king of Segway. Eleanor, I recently I've had members of the CPA, the U.S. organization that's been in charge of the government, the administration of Iraq over there, Michael Fleischer, who's going to be on the show again tomorrow, by the way, folks. If he hasn't already left Iraq, he was supposed to do it the day before he left, and I understand Paul Bremer has actually left, so he may be gone, but we're going to try to get Michael on tomorrow. Eleanor, last week I had Michael on, and I asked him about the currency in Iraq.
Oh.
He says now there's one currency. There used to be like two or three. Mm-hmm. He said, and it is stable. How about that?
Great. Yeah, I was asked to help on it, or at least submit a bid with a company. I'm glad I didn't go over there.
Well, yeah, I think I am too, Eleanor. In fact, I still may be going. I'm working on a possibility of going over there. I'd love to broadcast from over there and meet those folks. But Eleanor, the other thing that Michael is telling me is that small businesses are popping up all over the place over there. In fact, one of the things the U.S. is doing, I heard the American Iraqi Chamber of Commerce president say that they need something like an SBA over there to help these entrepreneurs in Iraq. But the truth is they've already got a little bit of that because mm-hmm. The U.S. government has been making loans to some of these people.
How interesting.
Micro loans to help them get their business.
Wow.
And they've loaned millions of dollars out to these people to help them get the. Now, Ray, that's, in my opinion, that's a good investment, getting entrepreneurs invested in their country.
Well, I think anything get entrepreneurship started, but you know what you're talking about with the currency, that is, you know, such a critical issue to have a stable currency for any economy. But when you're talking about this dramatic transformation for Iraq from, you know, a dictatorship of Saddam Hussein to hopefully a stable and free society, you have got to have a sound currency in order to build an economy. And if you don't, then forget it. Everything else you try is just going to be for naught. Because if you have people that have no faith in the value of their currency, they're not going to make the investments. Capital is not going to come into businesses. You've got to have a clear signal in the marketplace that this is going to be a strong, stable currency. And that is going to be a key issue. You know, it's not something that a lot of people talk about. But that is going to be a vital issue in terms of Iraq going forward, if it's going mm-hmm. to succeed or not.
Eleanor, what would you advise them? You're a former member of the Federal Reserve Organization. What would you be advising them right now with regard to stabilizing their currency?
Well, increase confidence in the future, which the handover hopefully will do, and get the good people to advise them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is the kind of problem that Greenspan is facing in the United States to ensure stable currency while the economy moves up.
The language he uses is important, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
So you're saying
a universal problem for the world.
So you're saying that maybe not so much numbers but words is what we need for the current strengthening the currency in Iraq. Is that what you're saying?
Well, absolutely. Words and the abatement of terrorism, but yeah. The confidence in the government.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, one of the things I'd like to see happen over there is that the world, if it can continue to go as it seems to be going at this moment, if the world can be put on notice, ladies and gentlemen, please watch what happens when human beings are given access to liberty, to free markets, to freedom, to the ability to own things and to pass it on to their children. Look what happens. And maybe we can export some more of that. Quick break, 29 after. We'll be right back with Eleanor Solomon and Ray Keating. We're going to talk about what the Fed's going to do.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. No false modesty here, right? My website is www.jbsba.com. If you want to email me, if you want to ask a question, here's the best way to do it. Ask Jim at jbsba.com. And that's where you can congratulate, you can tell me how wonderful you think I am because it's National Columbist Day, right, Ray? Ray Keating?
That's right. There you go.
You want to give us your email so people can call you and say thank you so much for your column?
You know what? Go to newsday.com, read the columns, and then you can email me at rjknewsday@aol.com.
But Ray, if they read the column, they might not want to write.
Now I'm confident, Jim, in what I'm writing. We'll hopefully with your listeners,
that's right.
Specific here,
that's
with
right.
Your listeners, we'll generate positive responses.
Eleanor Solomon is with us as well, ladies and gentlemen. Eleanor is the author of Virtual Money. Okay, let's bring this discussion back to our shores and talk about what's going to happen this week. This week, the Federal Open Market Committee is having a two-day meeting. It's one of their marathons for 2 days, and they're going to be talking about all things economic and monetary. And Eleanor, what do you think is going to be the main thing they're going to be discussing this week?
Well, they're going to be discussing the economy and the fact that the recovery appears to have lost a little bit of momentum. And the question is the economy...
You mean because it decelerated from 8.1 to 4.3?
Right, to 3.9, to 3.9, right. Not much loss, but a little bit, enough so that they may hold back on a massive half-point increase.
Right.
Because this is the issue, really, is a quarter-point increase, a half-point increase, no, there's a slight blip here. And the durable goods orders slipped, fell 1.6% last month after a 2% drop in April. New claims for unemployment rose last week.
Yeah, I saw that.
Consumers boosted spending on services, but a little less than earlier thought. Retail sales only rose 1.2%. Anyway, that's good, but maybe not good enough for a blasted one-half-point increase.
Mm-hmm.
And unemployment in May is still 5.6%, not bad as compared with 6.1% a year ago, but it's still high. There's still slack in the economy. There's still a lot of excess capacity. Productivity is still rising. So the question is, do we have looming inflation on the horizon? And generally speaking, probably not. Can the central bank continue to increase rates at a measured pace rather than a less measured pace? Producer prices rose 0.8% in May. That's including food and energy, and 4.9% in the preceding 12 months, and that's quite a lot historically. And March output for the year as a whole, including that 8% blip, was a 4.9% rise. The University of Michigan indicates in its survey that American expectations of inflation increased over the coming years and is now 3.3%, which is up.
Eleanor, did you mention that consumer confidence was up a little bit over the previous month?
Right, right.
Just a little bit, not much, and it's still under 100.
But
it's still, we may not like the number, but we like the trend, right?
Right. And new home sales went up in May. Is that temporary or what? And the Fed has to act cautiously because of risk of market jolts. You don't want to jump the rate by 0.5% and then have to move back. plus it's destabilizing to the market, which incidentally has already adjusted to the near certainty of higher rates of some sort.
Right.
So it's an interesting picture.
Ray, Mr. Greenspan, I didn't know that Mr. Greenspan was a golfer. I knew he was the king of vague language, but analogies, but I didn't know he was capable of using golf terminology in his metaphors. What do you think? Did you hear about this?
No, I did not hear.
Here's his comment. He said, "We seem to be on track." Talking about the economy, we seem to be on track. But as duffer golfers like to say, it's not a gimme putt. Now, when we come back, I'm going to get ready to comment on that. Folks, who knew that Alan Greenspan was capable of this? I didn't know that. 22, we'll be right back with Ray Keating. He's going to tell us, he's going to actually be able to report to us what Mr. Greenspan's handicap is right after these messages. It's 22. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the hour straight ahead, Floyd Hurt. Buckle your seatbelts, ladies and gentlemen, when Floyd Hurt joins us, because it will be a bumpy ride. I promise you, I have no idea what he's going to talk about, but it will be exciting, and you will want to be buckled. Bill Huss is going to join us after that. We're going to talk about mediation, the possibilities and the advantages and disadvantages of mediation instead of lawsuits. That's coming up in the next hour. Ray Keating is our guest. So is Eleanor Solomon. And Ray, you're chief economist for the Small Business Survival Committee. Tell us about the SBSC.
Oh, sure. We're a small business advocacy group. We have more than 70,000 members across the country. And we work on public policy issues from A to Z that impact small business owners. And you can check us out at www.sbsc.org.
And folks, you've heard me say this before, pound for pound, nobody does more for small business than the SBSC in terms of public policy, influencing public policy and helping to keep the government out of your way and my way. And I congratulate them and thank them for the efforts that they do, Ray and Karen Kerrigan and the others. Ray, you were going to give us you're going to tell us what Mr. Greenspan's handicap is.
His handicap is an occasional inability to speak clearly.
Of course, my handicap are the 14 clubs in my bag, but anyway,
yeah, I knew he was a musician in a previous career. I didn't realize that he also took up the game of golf though.
But you know, Eleanor was giving us the news, which was a little bit of a mixed bag, but really pretty good numbers, maybe just off a little from where they've been. But is Mr. Greenspan right when he says the economy is okay, but it's on track, but it's not a gimme?
I think that's right. And, you always have, to keep the golf analogy going, you got to make sure you get the ball in the hole. You can't count anything before before you're done. And as we saw at the U.S. Open, those short putts can be tricky. So I think the risk always with the economy is government doing something stupid, and that includes the Fed. But I think the Fed is, I think it's pointed in the right direction. When you look at the market indicators, I think it does indicate that we need, perhaps a little bit of a increase in interest rates to follow what the market is telling us. So, and again, let's put this all in perspective. I mean, we have a Fed funds rate at 1%.
Right.
Lowest since what? Sometime in the late 50s.
That makes prime at 4.
Yeah, and if we go up by a quarter point, it's really not going to, affect the economy in any big way or create problems for businesses.
It's certainly not going to put any small businesses out of business, a quarter point. And speaking of that raise, apparently it sounds to me like Eleanor is anticipating a quarter point raise. Ray, in January, on January 5th of this year, I predicted that the Fed would raise rates in this meeting a quarter of a point.
Yeah, no, and you were correct, and I think Eleanor's expectations they're right, and I think that's pretty much what the market is expecting. And what the Fed has told us is that they are looking at obviously within the context of changing economy and changing variables, but at some small rate increases over an extended period. And again, if the economy keeps chugging along, and I fully expect it to, that's probably a prudent course at this point.
Well, I'm predicting that, and I also predicted, Eleanor, that they would raise rates by this meeting, but not thereafter until after the election. Now, their next meeting is on the 9th of August, and I'm going to say that they're going to do a quarter point this week, and unless the economy just takes off on a tear, which I don't think it's going to, I predict that they will not raise rates at all, at least until December. What do you think, Eleanor?
I think we have to look at the wording of the statement, because the question is not whether they'll raise rates, but how much and how many successive months. And in the last statement that accompanied the last FOMC meeting, Greenspan was talking about gradualism, tightening policy at a pace that is likely to be measured, and the term measured is very important. Meanwhile, he and some of the other governors, I think Don Cohn has been talking about what is required to maintain price stability, and have sounded a little bit more hawkish. So is this statement going to just say measured pace, or is it going to say something in Fed speak, such as, well, of course, if the pace of inflation is, or if there is a risk of inflation, we will, of course, do what's necessary to maintain price stability. The two-pronged approach. And in the latter case, it may mean that given the way things are, there may be another increase next month. I hate to think that Fed policy is influenced by elections, and I don't really think it is very much.
Well, I hear you, and I know you'd hate to think that, but I think there is some element of that in there, I think that the economy, not superheating right now, is actually a good thing for the Republicans, because if the economy can truck along at 4%, even though that's off from where it has been, that's a pretty healthy number, isn't it, Eleanor?
It certainly is. The 8% was a sort of a one-time blip. We wouldn't want that every month.
Right, exactly. Well, that would be dangerous. But a steady 3.9, 4% or so growth through the end of the year would allow the Fed to raise rates a little bit this time, reload their ammunition against inflation a little bit. I mean, I guess deflation, I should say, a little bit.
Right.
And would allow them just to sort of take a nap and maybe just kind of take off for the rest of the year, at least until December. Quick break. We'll be right back. When we come back, I'm going to get Ray to talk to us about productivity and I'm going to mention something Mr. Greenspan said about productivity, and I'm going to get Ray to comment on that when we come back after these messages. Tintel, stay with us. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. The Small Business Advocate, Eleanor Solomon, is our guest, along with Ray Keating. And folks, I encourage you to check out Eleanor's book, Virtual Money, Understanding the Power and Risks of Money's High-Speed Journey into Electronic Spaces. I think you can still find a few of them out there, and certainly you can find it in the library. Eleanor, again, I congratulate you on your important book. It's one that I use all the time.
Oh, thank you.
Ray, I want to come back to a quote that Mr. Greenspan gave, and I want your comment on this. I think the issue that would concern us most, and this is a quote, I think the issue that would concern us most is the slowdown in the extraordinary rapid rate of productivity. Ray, Mr. Greenspan is concerned about a slowdown in the rapid rate of productivity. So now productivity is good. 5 years ago, it was bad. What's going on?
Well, Greenspan's absolutely right, and productivity is a good thing. You can get, people
doing
more.
He didn't think that 4 years ago.
Well, he also
he didn't believe the numbers, did he?
I think you're right, and I think he didn't believe a lot of things about the economy and what it was capable of 4 years ago. And that's unfortunate, because we paid a price for that.
That's right. Six increases in six meetings or something like that,
right.
In 1999?
From mid-99 to mid-2000, and
yeah.
he helped push the economy into recession.
Yeah.
So I think that you're absolutely right. And unfortunately, you know, demanding consistency from people in Washington, including Fed governors, you're asking an awful lot there, Jim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but,
I know it.
We can hope for it, and I think he's absolutely right. He's right about productivity. You know, we've heard a lot in the press about productivity's bad, and that's why we weren't getting job creation. And I think that all that stuff was pretty much off base. You got rising productivity; that's good.
That's
what
right.
We needed was continued, economic growth. We needed to get by all the things that were hanging over the economy, and we managed to do that. And we're in a good period now of, I think, rock solid economic growth and good job creation. So those are all positives. And the Fed, meanwhile, should be looking at their only concern in life when they get up in the morning and when they go to sleep at night. They should be concerned about inflation or deflation.
Mm-hmm.
And they should be aimed at price stability. And that, as long as they stay focused on that, that will be good for the overall economy.
I agree. That should be their sole purpose in life. And, you know, Eleanor, 4 or 5 years ago, if you remember when you were doing the show with me, when we first started doing the Fed Watch show, I said the Fed has got to get some new models. The models, the game that they're watching and that they're managing our monetary policy by is not the game that I was seeing. And you and I were talking about that in those days, Eleanor. And do you think the Fed now has those new models that they're looking at, that they actually are watching the same game you and I are watching?
They've been working on them the last 4 or 5 years. They haven't actually come out with them yet. But it's pretty tough to get a model for the economy these days, and I hope they get one. I think we're all behind the curve.
Here's another quote, Eleanor, I'm going to let you comment on. This is from Mr. Greenspan. Our general view is that inflationary pressures are not likely to be a serious concern in the period ahead. Do you agree with that, Eleanor?
Not a serious concern.
Yeah.
I think the Fed is right to focus on it a little bit now.
Yeah. Petroleum has really played a key part in this, hasn't
it? Right.
If crude oil were down below $30 a barrel, we wouldn't have any inflationary pressures right now, would we?
Well, you know, that's an interesting issue because when you have rising energy prices, the only way that's going to translate into inflation, it's going to have one of two effects. Either the Fed is going to monetize it, where they're going to, you know, crank up monetary growth, mm-hmm. and then it's going to translate into inflation. If they don't do that, then it's gonna take a bite out of economic growth.
Right.
So that's the two choices that we have here. The Fed monetizing is very, very dangerous because then things get carried away and you get into an inflation scenario, and that's really when things are bad news. So, you know, people naturally think, you know, there's this idea that, well, rising energy prices automatically translate into a rise in the general price level, and that's not the case. You still have to go back and see what's going on with the Fed and look at money supply relative to money demand, and that's the equation that you have to get at for inflation.
Okay, so are we basically in agreement that the Fed this week will raise rates, the Fed runs rates a quarter of a point? Eleanor, that's my position. What about you?
That's mine.
Ray?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's right. I think
quarter of a point. No way it's going to be a half point, right?
Not with the recent
very small chance.
Very small chance. All right. Eleanor Solomon, author of Virtual Money, thank you for being here. As always, great job today. And Ray Keating, Chief Economist for Small Business Survival Committee, thank you for being here today.
Jim, it's been great.
It's good to have both of you here. Thank you very much.
I really enjoyed it.
Thanks, Eleanor and Ray. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and every person in Iraq, Iraqi or otherwise, who is trying to make that into a free world over there, a free country. You're my heroes, too. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.